You know, one of the most awesome things, Rafer?
Yes.
The people who listen to our podcast.
I know.
They are so cool. And, you know, we really have to give them more, you know, shout outs because a lot of them write to us and they just have great things to say. And we just got a letter. You actually got it directly to you about last week's podcast about
yes.
the ultimate party movie.
Right, right.
Project X, which you have seen since that podcast.
Yes, I have.
You did not think it was the ultimate party movie.
I did not. I thought that film was, I thought that was a foul, foul, appalling film. But I wish that I'd be able to express my distaste more clearly on the last podcast. But
it was so bad.
It's a missed opportunity.
Anywho, we have this awesome listener, Sarah, who wrote to us in response to that podcast.
I know, and not related to either one of us.
Not your mom,
not my mom.
No, not my sister, not your sister.
No, an actual listener.
We've never heard of this person before. She's awesome. Sarah, San Diego, we love you. You wrote to us about The Breakfast Club and the mention that about adolescent relationships, about the fact that Ally Sheedy says at one point while they're smoking pot and partying on Monday, we're all going to revert back to our expected high school roles.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, it got us to thinking about adolescence.
Yes.
And, you know, first of all, Sarah, you're totally right. That's very true about The Breakfast Club.
Yeah. It's a heavy scene.
Yeah. We all, you know, after that party scene are going to revert back to our high school selves and our roles, our appropriate roles. But as far as adolescence go, a movie out this week, out today, made me and Rafer think about adolescence again.
That's right. Friends with Kids.
Yeah. Rafer, in particular, was thinking about
this. That's right. No actual adolescence in this movie. No one between the ages of, say, 12 to 19.
No, but adult adolescence.
Adult adolescence.
Yes.
The new adolescence.
The new adolescent. The 39-year-old to 45-year-old adolescent.
Exactly.
But you know what? We're going to talk about this in a minute, but first, let's introduce ourselves. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
All right, Rafer. Let's talk a little bit about this. Do you want to give a summary of the movie first?
Yeah, okay. So Friends with Kids, this is about a group of three couples, six people. They are all living in Manhattan, living the good life. As one of them says, when they all are at a restaurant, I think it's Jason, the main character played by Adam Scott, says, you know, we're here to live the dream. You know, why would you bring kids to a restaurant? Because in this very fancy place and there's
it's $100 a plate.
Right. Yeah. That's right. And a couple of screaming brats, you know, a couple tables over, disrupting all the carefree fun that these couples are trying to have. Flash forward 4 years later, the other couples have kids. They're all getting on with the family life, and Jason and Julie are the two singles left, friends since childhood or at least high school or something, right?
Yeah, it's high school, maybe college.
Could be
somewhere
college.
In there.
Right,
and that's
right.
Jennifer Westfeld and, again, Adam Scott.
Right, right. Jennifer Westfeld, who also wrote and directed. So the two of them decide, hey, you know, we both want kids at some point, but we don't want to go through all this horrible, you know, marriage-straining, you know, sex-killing awfulness that kids bring. Why don't you and I just have a kid together, purely platonically? We'll raise the kid, and there'll be no emotional messiness between the two of us at all. And that's their brilliant idea.
We can get this out of the way because we both want to have kids. And then find the love of our lives elsewhere.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know how these things tend to work out. But there's the movie. There's the plot summary for you.
Mm. And let's talk about your argument about this movie.
Okay. So my argument about this film is I think anyone out there who's been watching movies for the last, say, 5 years or so, or at least three, will recognize this just by the plot summary that I've given, will recognize this as part of a particular genre that is popular these days, the genre of the aging adolescent finally facing up to his or her adult responsibilities. Sometimes it's kids involved, sometimes not. But I'm thinking of movies like Knocked Up, which I think kind of launched this whole genre.
Mm-hmm.
Life as We Know It, Plan B, The Switch. To some extent, as you and I were saying, Bridesmaids. Again, there's no kids involved there, but it's all about, you know, hitting your late 30s, still being single. When am I going to get married? When am I going to have a real job? Blah, blah. And my question is, and I'm throwing this out to you, Kristen, and I'm throwing it out to anybody out there who'd like to answer, how much longer are we going to see this genre? Because I am part of this demographic, right? The late blooming adult who's, you know, took me a long time to buckle down and stop, well, cut down on drinking and have some kids, right? And so I relate to these people, but how much longer are we going to see them in movies? And I guess my question is this demographic going to peter out and make way for a new generation that's going to have new concerns, living their lives in a different way? Or is 40 really the new 25? Is that just now how it permanently is? Is that now what adolescence looks like? Does it start in junior high and continue until about 38?
Middle age.
Middle age. Exactly. Exactly.
The middle-aged adolescent. Well, would you like it to?
I mean, you know.
You yourself just admit this is you. You
can
self-identify. How many times do we look at the big screen and think, why can't I see myself up there? Why don't they ever depict my story? And there it is, Rafer.
And there it is. Look, those are my Dockers. Those are my sneakers. He's wearing my Pumas up there on screen. He's listening to the same crappy indie rock that I'm listening to.
I was thinking that through this whole movie. I'm like, oh, I own that Rilo Kiley CD. I own that.
Right, right.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, the Regina Spektor. I own that whole soundtrack. That soundtrack that says, I'm a self-perceived semi-hip person in my late 30s to mid-40s, aren't I?
Exactly. Exactly. I can still go see a concert. Yeah. I know. Look, it was – I had fun. I was at the party for a long time, right? That was great.
And why wouldn't you want to be?
Of course.
I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with getting married at 21 and having children by the time you're 25.
No.
A lot of people still do that. A lot of people love that. Nothing's wrong with that. But can you blame people for wanting to make it last a little longer?
Not at all.
What's wrong with going out to that restaurant with all your friends and having a grand old time without any kids?
Of course.
Having sex in the bathroom like right. Some of them are and right. Drinking heavily, you know.
Right.
Doing what you do. What's wrong with that?
Right. We should mention, by the way, that one thing I thought was sort of interesting about this film is that almost literally half the cast of Bridesmaids is in this movie.
More than half, right?
Yeah. So we've got as Missy and Ben, it's Kristen Wiig and John Hamm. And for those of you who don't know, John Hamm and the director, Jennifer Westfeld, are partners in real life. Then Chris O'Dowd, who played the Irish cop in Bridesmaids, is in it. He's married to
Maya Rudolph,
right?
Who's the bride in Bridesmaids.
Right, who's the bride in Bridesmaids. So you've got four people from Bridesmaids are in this film. I don't know, though. I mean, Kristen, so the other couples, the couples that have the children, they are presented as
depressing.
As the lifestyle you don't want, right? This is the adulthood you don't want. They bicker, they're fighting about, you know, who's gonna change the diaper, blah, blah, blah.
They yell at each other constantly. The kids never stop yelling, even if there's
right.
no reason to be yelling.
Right.
You're lucky if you've gotten your sex life back up to the point where it's once a month.
Right.
Once it's back up to once a month, you're really like, okay, I can do this for a while.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Chris O'Dowd, I think, says at one point to Adam Scott, I should use their real names, Alex says to Jason, does he say something like, you know, once every other month? And then he says something like, well, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's once a month. And Jason's horrified, you know, that this guy is, you know, because Jason's still single. He's out on the market. He's playing the field. And, you know, I didn't quite buy it, but he appears to be able to, you know, drag women into bed constantly, right? He's always got a new one in his bed somewhere. So this idea of marriage is the marriage you don't want, you know. So somehow there's this idea that you want to preserve your youthful your youthful lifestyle. So Kristen, if I'm the depressed, strained marriage people in that movie, if I'm the guy who's already been married, I've got two kids, right? And I'm not sleeping very well because my kids are always waking up, blah blah. Then you are the single, right?
I am the wild and crazy person who's spending $100 a plate for supper and having sex in the bathroom.
You're still living, Kristen.
Not doing any of those things. I am not. Doing
but you are the single. You are the single person that should be who you relate to in the film.
But I also feel that depiction is a little bit depressing too. It's like, oh, I'm getting old. I better get this baby out of the way while I can. My vagina's going to be floppy afterwards. Oh, my God.
Lots of talk about that in this film.
Lots of talk about the floppy vagina. Yeah. Am I saying that too much? I shouldn't say that again.
That's all right. Well, and, you know, I will say this. You have used a far more tasteful word there than anyone in the film ever uses. I was sort of astounded at how much coarse, distasteful street slang is in this film. I found it really a little bit, I don't know, something about that really, really rankled me, rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, there's one rape comment that kind of silences everybody in the movie at one point. Do you remember that? I don't remember that, no. Oh, God. John Hamm delivers it to Kristen Wiig.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yes, right. At the tense dinner scene. Yes, I remember.
It does get coarse at times.
I remember.
I mean, I would argue in this movie that everybody's life sucks.
Here is what I found to be the big problem with the movie. Maybe you agree. The people in this film, I think the film and the filmmaker, I think Jennifer Westfeld, seems to feel that the people in this movie are endearing and hip and irreverent, and you know you can relate to them and they're empathetic. And I just found them all awful. I found them to be just a batch of self-centered, shallow, foul-mouthed, insensitive, horrible Manhattanites. And they all just appalled me. And I found the film so smug and self-satisfied and so unconvincing, I think mainly because all the characters seem so lousy. Did you feel that? Or
I thought Maya Rudolph would be a great best friend.
Okay, now
Maya Rudolph and Chris O'Dowd
are the most likable couple.
They're the most likable. Yes, they also fight a lot. Yes, their kids are also a pain in the ass. But
right.
Oh, I thought that if anybody in this movie I could hang out with outside of this movie, I thought, you know what? I want to hang out with these two.
Yeah, and they are on screen the least.
Yeah, but they're totally so, like, you know, real.
Yeah, they seem solid.
They don't seem totally stuck up and smug. They seem nice to each other, but not, like, ridiculously over the top, you know.
And there's tenderness there.
There's tenderness.
Even when they're, you know, harping on each other to, you know, get the door, get the baby, do this. Why should I have to do that? You know, but they still, it's clear that they're coping and that there's a love there.
Yeah.
But you see them so briefly, you know, depicted on the screen that it's almost as though the film isn't interested in that or doesn't know what to do with that or doesn't find that amusing or funny or something, you know, or worthwhile.
Well, maybe that goes back to your adolescent argument, Rafer. They're not adolescents. They're grown-ups.
Ah, right. So there's no drama there.
What's the point? If we don't get to see middle-aged people acting like they're 14, who cares?
Yeah, maybe.
Because they're middle-aged people kind of acting middle-aged.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's the problem. But, I mean, what did you think of this movie overall?
Well, the thing is, I really wanted to like it because I love the cast in it. And I'm
also like, Ed Burns and Megan Fox are both in this film, right?
That's right.
I mean, it is really enjoyable in this, I thought.
Yeah,
and I mean, Megan Fox doesn't do bad either. And it's quite a cast when you really look at it.
Yeah, the cast is spectacular. It is supposedly your circle and my circle of friends.
Right.
The right age group, people living in brownstone Brooklyn, some of them living in Manhattan.
Right.
And I really wanted to like it. But I thought it was – I have to agree with you. I just – with the exception of Maya Rudolph and Chris O'Dowd, I just didn't really like the characters.
Yeah.
They made me feel kind of lousy about humanity.
Yeah. Yes. Me too.
And am I asking too much? I don't want a movie to make me feel bad about humanity.
I don't think that's too much to
There's
ask.
There's a reason why I don't watch Schindler's List every week.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Once was enough. That's enough. I don't need to be reminded all the time.
It made me feel bad about as I find these kind of comedies, romantic comedies, often do. It made me feel bad about men and women.
About how we communicate about our relations with each other. About
what roles it is that we are still seeing in ourselves on screen. Jennifer Westfeld, who plays the single girl who has the baby with Adam Scott, with Jason, is just such a needy, whiny, emotional punching bag. She's such a doormat. And Adam Scott's character is just a cretin. He's just a complete. He's an insensitive, gross, emotionless, kind of a pig.
And he hurts her feelings over and over.
And
in some of the most callous ways.
I remember feeling, you know, the film but the film has no conception of that. The film thinks this is like a really kind of funny, you know, youthful, irreverent relationship that it's painting. And in the beginning, when they decide to do the deed, Adam Scott breaks out like a hardcore porn tape and puts that on. And I just kind of thought, like, is that really what you would do if you were about to have sex with one of your oldest, dearest friends? You'd put on a hardcore porn tape? And Jennifer Westfeld's character is too much of a doormat to even say anything about it. She just goes with it. Like, she goes with everything. And I kept thinking, like, I don't want to be any of these people or sleep with any of these people. These people all seem so terrible to me, and I think that was the main problem. And I think the main problem is that this is not a farce or a satire. We're supposed to like them, and that seems even worse to me.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh. So I guess what you're saying is this is not a good date for you.
Oh my God, this is a terrible. If you took a date to this movie, I think the only thing you'd both be thinking is, how can I never get into a relationship ever? How can I avoid all people?
Let's make this the last date, also, right? Not the first date, the first and the last date. Yeah.
God, really?
I would say it was a mediocre date.
Okay.
I might go if I'm having a self-flagellating bad girls movie night.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we do that as girls.
Yes.
We go to a movie that just, for whatever reason, makes us feel bad about ourselves, and okay, we force ourselves to sit through it.
Like, I heard that.
he's just not that into you. That's right, one of those cases. Right. I did it with girlfriends.
Okay. All
sometimes
right.
Sometimes girlfriends, we do stuff like that. But yeah. And yeah, if you are feeling insecure about your middle-aged adolescent self, this might not be the best movie either for you.
Boy, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just not. But, you know, we do want to give a shout-out to listeners. We're going to try more often to read your great mail on air. You send us such great letters. So please keep on doing that. Adult adolescent stuff. Anything else you want to write about.
That's right. That's right.
Anything at all.
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.